Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Beitza, Daf Zayin. We begin about six lines down from the top. We had a story yesterday that was teaching us halakha of mekach tos, teaching us when you purchase something, if you didn't get what you were expecting to get, sometimes the deal is totally returned. So we had a case where a person said he wanted to buy eggs, the pachya, beya de pachya. He wanted to buy eggs from a chicken that was making a lot of noises. In other words, he wanted to buy an egg that was laid by a chicken that was alive, as opposed to taking out an egg from a chicken that was shechted. And we said that was a mekach tos, because the purpose of wanting to buy the eggs from a chicken that was alive was in order that it should be able to have a frochem, as opposed to an egg that comes out from a shechted chicken that will never grow a frochem, and therefore that is considered a mekach tos. We have a similar discussion today, again six lines from the top. Howd amalahu, there was a certain person who said to the people that were selling chickens, beye de dichra leman, beye de dichra leman. He was asking, can somebody sell me eggs that were fertilized by a rooster? In other words, he wanted eggs. It also had the potential over here, as Rashi says, shel yaldosin tarnegolis mi tarnegol, that these were eggs that had become brought into the world by the fact that the chicken was with a rooster. Below nischamu minakarka, as opposed to eggs just come into existence because the chicken is pressed against the ground. It's called safna di ara. And mischamem es bakarka, the chicken becomes warm from the ground and it gives birth to eggs. We'll let this beitzim. However, osim beitzim ein megadlus efrochem. Eggs that are produced by safna di ara, so they don't have the potential to grow chicks. As opposed to an egg that came about because the female chicken was fertilized by a male chicken, by the rooster. So in that situation, they can have efrochem come from such eggs. So this person was specifically looking to buy beya de dichra, eggs that have been fertilized by a male chicken. And he asked for this, however, yavulei bey de safna meyara. But instead, somebody incorrectly sold him eggs that had come from a chicken that hadn't been around the rooster, and the eggs just came about because of this concept of safna meyara. The chicken got warm from the ground and produced eggs. Now, also the comment of Ravami, this person was upset that he had eggs now that couldn't become Efrochem, and he had purchased the eggs for Efrochem. So he went to Ravami and asked him, what's the halacha? So Ravami told all the people, Mekach Tosu, that this was in fact a mistaken sale, and the Hodar, and you have to go give back the person all the money. Now, Mor says, Pshita, what's the Chiddush over here? This is obvious. Why do you have to tell me this? Obviously, it's a mekach tos. He wanted eggs that could become efrochem, and instead they gave him eggs that could not become efrochem. So, of course, it's a mekach tos. What's the chiddush over here of Ravami? Someone says, no, ma'al detema, I might have thought that haila chila kobolu, that this person really wasn't looking for eggs that would become efrochem. He was looking for very good eggs in terms of eating. He wanted to eat these eggs, and he was under the impression that eggs from a dechra, eggs that have become fertilized, are tastier, they're more shmeina, they're better than eggs that have come about into the world because of safna meyara. So therefore, the high dekama, the reason why he asked for eggs beya de dechra, was mishum de shmeinon tve, because they're better, they're tastier, they're fatter, and that's why he wanted those eggs. So he wanted, again, like we said yesterday, he wanted the grade A eggs for eating, and they gave him the grade B eggs for eating. And therefore, you might have thought that in this situation, l'may nafkamina, what difference does it make? No. L'meisva le'beini beini. If you got grade A eggs, that's what you wanted for eating, but instead they gave you the grade B eggs, so then the difference is between $1 for 12 eggs or 80 cents for 12 eggs. So therefore, the only difference that he'd have to go and make up would be the 20 cents, because that's what he overcharged him, but not a mekach tos, that the whole thing goes back. So therefore, the Chiddush of Rami is Kamash Vullah, no, that this was a total mekach tos, because he wanted eggs that would do something, such as have efrochem, and not just a shmeina, and instead he got eggs that couldn't have efrochem, and therefore it's a mekach tos. Now, in yesterday's shiur, we had said that Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Beitza im Yitziyotza Nigmara. Rav Huna, Amar Rav had said that an egg is considered complete only when it comes out. Now, that was a discussion that we had yesterday. So we're now going to continue and pick up on that discussion. What exactly does this mean? And therefore, we're going to give another teretz other than the one that we gave at the end of yesterday. The Yisema, another explanation for what Rav Huna Amar Rav said, that Beitza imitziyasa nigmara is my imitziyasa nigmara. What does that mean when he said, with its coming into the world, with its being laid, is it completed? Im yitzias ruba nigmara. when the majority of the egg comes out, not the whole egg coming out, but once the majority of the egg comes out, in fact, the egg is considered to be nigmura. And this goes like the opinion, Uchad Rav Yochanan. What did Rav Yochanan say? Rav Yochanan, Beitza, Sheyotza Ruba, Me Erev Yontif, Vichazra, Muteres Liochla Biyontif. If you have an egg that came majority out of the chicken, but it didn't fully come out of the chicken on Erev Yontif, and then it went back inside into the chicken. The egg like came out, but then it went back inside. And it was only actually laid then on Yontif. So this is not a Beitza Shenolda Biyontif. Rav Yochanan had taught us that the fact that the majority of the egg came out, even though it didn't really actually leave the body, it then went back inside the body. Vichazra, nevertheless, Muteres Liochla Biyontif. This is not called the Beitza Shenolda Biyontif. This is called the Beitza Shenolda Bi'Erev Yontif. The majority of it being laid, even though Chazra, it went back inside, is going to be considered that it was laid. And that's what the Shita of Rav Huna Amar Rav is telling us. Imitzias Ruba Nigmara. When he said Imitzias Nigmara, he meant Imitzias Ruba Nigmara. And this is in accord with Rav Yochanan's opinion. Vika the Amri, others learned it differently. Vika the Amri, others said the exact opposite. My imitzios nigmara, when Rav Huna Amar Rav said that it's considered completed when it comes out, it means imitzias kula nigmara. The Rav Huna Amar Rav is telling us that it's not like Rav Yochanan. You need to have the entire egg being laid to be considered born on Erev Yontif. But if the majority of it came out and then it went chazur, it went back inside, so then it is not considered laid on Erev Yontif. And therefore, if the entire egg came out, so then it is considered Beitza Shenolda Be'erev Yontif, and you can eat it on Yontif. However, Aval Ruba, if only the majority of the egg came out, and then the Chazer, then it went back inside, lo, it is not considered laid on Erev Yontif, Ula Fuke, Midr Yochanan, and he in fact argues, he disagrees with Rav Yochanan's opinion that said Beitza Shenolda Ruba, Me'erev Yontif, V'Chazer, Muteres Le'Ochel Yontif. No, Rav Huna Amar Rav disagrees with that and says only if the entire egg comes out, but if the majority of it came out, and then it was Chazer, it went back inside, it is not considered laid. Not like Rav Yochanan. Gufa, now we're going to go back and discuss that which we brought down towards the end of yesterday's shir. So we had said there, Gufa, Hashocheh Satana goes, if somebody shechted a chicken, Umotzo Bo Beitzim Gemuros, and he finds in it eggs inside the shechted chicken that are gemuros, they're finished inside there. So what's the halacha? Are these fleishich? Are they considered part of the chicken? Or are they considered eggs? Eggs are parva. So at what point does the egg become an egg in terms of its halachic status of being parva and not being a piece of the chicken? So this Braisa had taught us that if you find completely formed eggs inside, Beitzim Gemuros, so then even though they never actually were laid, they were found inside the shechted chicken, Muteres Li'ochlon B'cholot. You would be allowed to eat them with milk. They're considered parva. They're not considered a piece of the chicken. They're not considered part of the shechted chicken. They're considered a separate entity called an egg. And an egg is parva. That was the opinion of Tanna Kamma. And we brought down that Rav Yaakov disagrees. Rav Yaakov Omer, it depends. In Mayom Ma'oros Begidin, if it still was attached, Rashi explains Ma'oros Begidin means Mechuboros. If it was still attached, so to say, inside with various types of ligaments, so it was still attached to the inside of the chicken, and it wasn't loose, so to say, ready to come out, so then Asuros, then it's considered a piece of the chicken, and it's Fleishach, and you wouldn't be able to have it with milk. Now, the whole question of chicken and milk is a whole separate discussion. Rav Yosef Galili, in fact, held that there is no Isser at all, not even Midrabanan, to have chicken and milk together. And he would have a chicken cheeseburger, L'chatrila. He held it's not even Isser Drabanan. There is an opinion that says it's an Isser Deraisa, and there is an opinion that says that it's an Isser Drabanan to have chicken with milk. In any event, here we're not interested in what the nature of the Isser is. We're just saying that it's also to have chicken and milk if it's real chicken, and the question is, what about these eggs? So the opinion of Yaakov is if they're still attached inside, then they're not considered a separate entity, they're not considered eggs yet, they're still considered a piece of the chicken. Now, Gemara is going to ask us, Man Tana Lohod Tana Rabbanan, who therefore is the author of the following brisa? Is it the Tana Kama of Rav Yaakov, or is it Rav Yaakov? Now this brisa says, Ochel Minivlas Ov Tar. If a person eats an avela of an Ov Tar, let's say a chicken died, so if you eat this chicken, it didn't get shechted, so this is usur, of course, to eat. Now, we're only interested here in the question of tumah. The isur, if something isn't shechted, of course you're not allowed to eat it. But a behema that wasn't shechted is an avela. An avela is metame, bimaga, and masa. However, a chicken, a bird, that is an oftar, it's a kosher species of bird, and it wasn't shechted, is not metame, bimaga, and masa, as Rashi points out, but it's only metame, what we call tumas besablia. Only when you eat it, so you become tummy, and the clothing that you're wearing becomes tummy. As Rashi points out, metam ha'ochel
latame begadim shulavush, that this food that you're eating, this nevelas of tar, is going to be matame the clothing that you're wearing at the time, b'shaz b'liyosa, while you're swallowing it. However, ein lo tumas magro masa, as I pointed out, as opposed to a nevela of a behema. So, the first din that this brisa tells us is if you eat nevelas of tar, when you're eating it in the beis habliya, so that is when you become tame, this tumas of beis habliya. And you can be matame the clothing that you're wearing at that time. Furthermore, min hashalol shel beitzim. We said that you have to eat the meat of the chicken in order to be over nevelas of tar, to be matame yourself, to be matame your clothing when you have it in your mouth in the beis habliya. So what else is included in the meat of the chicken? So this brisa tells us if you eat min hashalol shel beitzim, if you eat the eggs, the string of eggs that are found inside, and they are Mu'uros begidin, these are the ones that are attached. Now, in the previous Mishnah, the Tanakhama said that that is considered an egg already. And Rav Yaakov said if they're still Mu'uros begidin, then they aren't considered eggs and they're considered part of the flesh. So this Brisa is going to tell us that Hashalo Shabetim, which is still attached, is not going to be considered eating Nevelas of Tar. So it's going to sound like it's not like the opinion of Rav Yaakov, it's like the Tanakhama of Rav Yaakov. Furthermore, if you eat the atzamos, the bones, that's not considered the flesh of nevelas of tar. Or minagidim, if you eat the gidim, is always translated as sinews. There is no such real word. Basically, it means that it's going from one place to another place. It's a structure that starts at one place and goes to another place. It's an elongated structure. It could be an artery, it could be a nerve, it could be a vein, or it could be a ligament. That's what gidim are. These things are also not considered basar. Or if you were to eat min habasar shenitlash min chai, or if you were to eat some of this basar of this bird when it wasn't dead yet, it was taken off eva min chai. In all of these situations, it's not called nevelas of tohar. And therefore, if you eat them, tohar, you are considered tohar. Now, obviously, you may not be allowed to eat them. Basar nitlash min chai, you're not allowed to eat. That's not what we're asking over here. We're asking just in regards to the din of, is this called nevelas of tohar? That's metame bebe sabliya. And the answer is no. So you clearly see that this shalosh shabetzim is not considered meat of the chicken. In other words, it's considered an egg. This is exactly like the Tanakhama of Rav Yaakov and not like Rav Yaakov. That's what the Gemara is going to ask in a moment. However, the Brisa continues, says, if you eat min ha'eshkol shabetzim, this is implying the ovaries of the chicken. In other words, the places where the eggs are formed inside the chicken. And this is considered basar, as we'll see. Or min ha'kurkavan. The kurkavan is the crop of the chicken. Or b'nei ha'mayayin, or the intestines of the chicken. These are all considered basar. If you eat any of these, including the eshkol shel beitzim, that is considered that you're eating the basar of the chicken. It would be metame nevelas of tar bebeis habliya. Or alternatively, oshehimcho, if you melt it, es hachelev ugimo, if you took the fat of the schmaltz of this chicken and you melted it down and then you drank it, you swallowed it. In all of these situations, that's considered that you ate basar of nevelas of tar, and it's metame the person who eats it bebeis habliya, as well as the clothing that he's wearing. Tame. In other words, these are all considered basar. Now the Gemara asks, Man Tana, who is the author of this brisa, min hashalosh shabetzim tar, that says that even though it's ma'ur begidin, it's not considered meat. In other words, it's considered an egg. So Amar Rabbi Yosef, the low, Rabbi Yaakov. It's not like Rabbi Yaakov. It's like the Tana of Rabbi Yaakov, who says that if it's ma'uros begidin, it's considered a separate entity. It's called an egg. And Rabbi Yaakov said, no, if it's still attached with gidin, so then it is considered part of the chicken. So obviously this brisa is not like Rabbi Yaakov. Rav Yosef tells us, because the Iker of Yaakov, it was like Rav Yaakov, so then, then he would say that that is considered basar, because it's not considered an egg yet. So clearly, this brisa goes like the Tanakhama of Rav Yaakov and not like Rav Yaakov. That's what Rav Yosef said, but Abaye disagrees. Abaye says, why? Mimai. It could actually go like Rav Yaakov as well, because maybe, Dilmo, Adkan lo kom Rav Yaakov osam, the only reason why Rav Yaakov said that the eggs are considered, if they're mu'uros begidim, like the chicken, and not like a freestanding egg, that's only ela le'inyan isura. Maybe that's only in regards to saying that it's also, you can't have it with milk, because it's too close to looking like meat of the chicken. So the rabbis made a gzera that said, no, you can't go even have that with milk. And mu'uros begidim is technically like an egg. Even though it's still attached, it's like an egg. However, Lini Nisura, to say you can have this with milk, so the rabbi said, no, you can't have this with milk, because it's too close to being basar. However, Alini Tuma, in regards to saying, oh, this is now metame, if you were to eat this like basar from Nevelas of Tar, no, that the rabbis didn't make such a gzera low. Why not? They said, if you're making it in terms of Isura, that the rabbi said we should consider this Muros Begidim to be like Basar, and therefore you can't have it with milk because of a Gzeira. It's too much like the Basar that you should call it a freestanding egg. So then why not do the same thing with Tuma? It's too much like Basar that it shouldn't be ignored, and it should be Metame Midrabanan Tumas Nevelas of Tahar. Of course, no, here's the difference. Afushe Tumahu, Afushe Tuma Midrabanan Loma Fashinan. Here you're talking about making some more tumah in the world. You can never be matara, a piece of food. Food, if you make it tumah midrabanan, you're now adding tumah to the world. And if a person were to have this tumah in the world, it could lead to additional taharos, as Rashi says, av bishugosu betumos bimakomos habi, even though we make certain things tumah, utensils, for example, lekan neymar, hochanami nigzar, the lo nichlon, the lifshu betumos. Here, there's no way to make it tar. So the rabbis weren't so quick to make a food item tumah, and therefore, even though Rav Yaakov says they'll make a gzera about Isura, who says that Rav Yaakov would say that they would make a gzera over here, that muros begidin would also be considered like basar of ov tumah, and because that would lead to afushe tuma, and afushe tuma to make more tuma, made the Rabbanan Lo Mafshinu. We don't do that regularly. Now, there's another totally different version over here, Ikad Yamre. Others learned it out that no, Man Tana, who's the author of this Braisa, that says the second part, Min Ha Eshkol Shol Beitzim Tomei, that says the Eshkol, the ovaries of the Beitzim, over here, the ovaries of the Beitzim are created, that's considered Basar, and therefore, and it's Tomei, so that's the way we translated Eshkol Shobetim beforehand, but now we're going to translate the Eshkol Shobetim as being the Beitim that are Mu'uros Begidin, not the ovaries, but these are eggs that are still attached. And who is the author here that says that is considered Nevelas of Tahar? So, Amar Yosef, this is Rav Yaakov. This is the opinion of Rav Yaakov, the Amar, he holds, Yimhoyim Uros Begidin Asuros. So, therefore, this Bryce is actually in accord with Rav Yaakov and Sekasha on the Tanakhama of Rav Yaakov. So that's what this Ikad Yamre says, Rav Yosef had pointed out over here, that we're referring to the second part, where we had originally called them the ovaries, but now we're calling them the Beitzim, the Meurus Begidin. And Abai doesn't like this either. Only Abai says, wait a second. Why are you telling me over here that this Eshkol is referring to the Beitzim, Meurus Begidin? Maybe it's referring to the actual Basar of the ovaries. And therefore, this would be in accord with everybody, that the Flesh, of course, is metame as basar minavelas of tar. So why are you telling me this is the beitzim that amur is begidin? Are you going to tell me v'chitema eshkol kufi ma'alavem? So then what's the chiddush? Why are you telling me about the ovaries at all? You don't have to tell me about the fligula. You don't have to tell me about the pulki, that if you eat it from a nevelas of tar, that would be metame the person eating it bebeis habliya and metame his clothing. You don't have to list every single part of the edible part of the chicken to call it basar. So why would you then have to tell me the eshkol? So therefore, it must be that it's not talking about the eshkol, it's talking about the beitz and meuris begidim. If you're going to tell me that, that's incorrect. Because me did the havia kurkubon and yayin. You have to tell me about the kurkubon and the beim yayin. Now, why did you have to tell me about the crop and the intestines? Because the apple got the basar. You know, okay, nobody would say that they're not basar, but in fact, even the ikur inshi, the lo achli, most people don't eat that stuff. It's not really good. So yes, it's basa, but since people don't eat it, I might have thought it's to ichlachshmina. You specifically have to go and tell me that yes, it's basa. So too, hochanami, even the ikur inshi, the lo achli, since the eshkol shel beitzim is also something that's not usually eaten by people. It's not a tasty part of the chicken. So therefore, you have to tell me that in fact, that's also considered basa. That's why you have to tell it to me. So therefore, that's the chiddush in the second part, but you can't say that this goes only according to Rav Yaakov. This could in fact go like the Tanakama of Rav Yaakov, and it's talking about the Eshkol, and it's not talking about Beitzim, Meuros, Begidin. More continues by quoting the following braisa, so, Tanu Rabbanan kol shetashmisho bayom, nol bayom. Any type of an animal that has relations during the daytime will give birth during the daytime. Kosher tashmisho balayla, if an animal has relations at night, no la balayla, then it will give birth at night. We'll see examples of this in a moment. And kosher tashmisho, bein bayom bein balayla, an animal that could have relations either during the day or during the night, so then could give birth, no la bein bayom bein balayla. What exactly are we referring to over here? So, the Gemara tells us, kosher tashmisho bayom, no la bayom, that which we said in this braisa, that an animal that has relations during the daytime will only give birth during the daytime. An example of this would be tarnagolas, zoo tarnagolas. And that's what we refer to. We had the Gemara that said if the egg came out on Erev Yontif, so then it's a guarantee that the Sebetza Shenolda be Erev Yontif. We'll learn more about this now because the eggs are only laid during the daytime. Eggs normally are not laid during the nighttime. They're only laid during the daytime. And we'll
That's the reason why this price is brought in, and to discuss this more, which we'll get to in a moment. So this is the example of the Tashmishu Bayom, Nola Bayom. This is the chicken. Called Shech Tashmishu Balayla, Nola Balayla, an animal that has relations at night, so will give birth at night. The example of this is Zu Atalef. Atalef is normally translated as a bat. And finally, the third example, kosher tishmisho b'mayom b'malayla, an animal that has relations either during the day or during the nighttime, then it can give birth either during the day or the nighttime. Adam v'chol d'domile. This would be humans, man, and all the other animals that are like man, and that they can have relations at any time. Now, Amamar, we go back and we quote part of this brisa. Kol tishmisho b'yom nola b'yom. Zutana goles, that which we learned in this brisa, that the animal that has relations during the day, which is the chicken, will only give birth during the day, will lay its eggs during the day. L'may nafkamina, of what halachic significance is this teaching us? What's the ramification? What's the nafkamina? So Gemara says, this is to teach us the din, l'chederav Mari b'rei Rav Kahana. This is Rav Mari, who was the son of Rav Kahana, and he taught us the following din, the Amar Rav Mari b'rei Rav Kahana, bodak b'kina shel tarnegolim may erev yontif. If you were to go check the chicken's coop, and you would go to check there, you check the nest where the egg is sitting, and you see that there is no egg over there below matzo babetza, and now the next morning you come back before dawn, so it's still the same night, and we said the chickens don't give birth at night. Olamachor hishkim, Rashi again explains, hishkim is kodum olas hashachar, before dawn. And you do find an egg there. Now, when was that egg laid? It wasn't laid at night, because we have this rule that the chickens don't lay the eggs at night. So it's not a beitza shenolda biyontif, meaning the night of yontif here. But no, we can assume it was laid erev yontif. You're allowed to go and eat that beitza. It's considered a beitza shenolda erev yontif. That's the nafkamina of this din, according to Rav Mari, brother of Kana. But the Gemara says, wait a second, my little bodak, he checked and he didn't find it. So where'd the egg go? So Gemara says, no. Amar lo bodak yofa yofa. Terence number one is he didn't check well. He did a perfunctory, cursory check. And the egg was really there, but he didn't lift the chicken up entirely. So that's one explanation. Or alternatively, no. Afilu bodak yofa. He really checked very well. Nevertheless, this is Rav Yochanan's statement that we had a few minutes ago. Amar yotza ruba. What must have happened is that the egg was mostly laid, because it's laid during the daytime, but then the chazir, it went back inside the chicken. It came out mostly, but it didn't get laid totally, and it went back inside. So when he really checked well, because there was no egg outside the chicken's body at that point in time. And therefore, the chazir, that's what we're dealing with here, that it came back inside, and uchid Rav Yochanan. This is like the shita that we brought down a few moments ago with Rav Yochanan, and that's the chiddush over here of Rav Mari Breder of Kahana, to tell us that even if you checked, you have the right to halachically say that yotzos aruba v'chazir, because chickens don't lay eggs at night. And if you go and check in the morning and you see the egg there before dawn, it obviously was laid beforehand. And since it's not laid at night, it must have been laid erev yontif. Why didn't you see it? Because it was yotzos aruba, but v'chazir. More questions. Is really? Ini, is this so? Rav Asi ben Shol, said the name of Rav, Bodak Bikino Shel Tarnegolus Mayor of Yontif. Exactly our case. He said if you went and checked the chicken coop, where the chicken was lying on its nest, and you didn't find any eggs there, Velomotsu Bebeitza. Now, the next morning before dawn, Ulamachar Hishkim, he gets up before dawn, Umotsu Bebeitza, and he finds an egg there. So Rav Yossi ben Shol, in the name of Rav, said that it's Asura. You can't assume that it was Yotzaruba Vechazra, but you have to assume that it was laid at night. Now, how can that be? You just taught us that the eggs aren't laid at night. So what's going on? So Gemara says, Hosom b'desafno miyara. Again, this two different ways that chickens go and lay eggs. One is from the ground warming them up without a male rooster there, without the male chicken being there. And the other one is what we call from the zohar, the dichra, that the male rooster comes and impregnates the chicken, and that's how you can have eggs now. The safna, the me'ara, so those are sometimes laid at night. It's only if there's a rooster that they're never laid at night. So that's the chiddush over here. Rav Yossi ben Shol, Omar Rav says if you have an egg that you find early in the morning before dawn, you have to assume that this was safna the ara, and therefore that's why it was laid on yontif and it's asura. But if there was a rooster around, so then we say, like Rav Mari, Breder of Kahana, that it must have been yotzasa Ruba the Chazra, and that's why he didn't find it, and therefore it was laid Erev Yontif and its mutter. Shmuel says, Ihachi the Rav Mari Nami. So why isn't Rav Mari
Bray the Rav Kahana concerned that maybe it was Safna the Ara. How does he know that it was coming from Dichra, that it was coming from a rooster? Ema Me'ara Safna, how do you know how this chicken got the egg inside of it? Was it Safna the Ara or was it Midichra? So how do you know? So where it says, B'di'ika Zohar Bahadah, because there was a male chicken, there was a rooster there that was around, and therefore, when you have the choice of Safna the Ara or the Ika Zohar, so then we say it came from the Zohar, and the Zohar is only laid during the daytime. That's why Rav Mori, Bray, the Rav Kana said it definitely was laid during the day. It must have been Yos Aruba V'Chazra. Mor says, B'di'ika Zohar, Nami Ema Mi'ara Safna. Why? Why are we saying that the Zohar is more likely than the Safna Mi'ara? So Amar Ravina, Ravina tells us, no, that's the rule. Gemire, we have a tradition. We know the science here. Kol Hecha, the Ika Zohar, if there's a rooster around, Lo Safna Mi'ara, the chicken will not go and have the egg in an infertilized way. It will have it only in a fertilized way. That's the rule of the nature, that if there's a rooster around, it will have the egg that way and not from Safna Mi'ara. So the Gemara now asks, V'yatkama, how far does this rooster have to be away for us to apply this principle that if you were unknown, if it's the egg was laid during the daytime or the nighttime, you can assume that it wasn't Me'ara Safna, but you can assume it was from the rooster. How far does the rooster have to be? There's a rooster 100 miles away. Is that going to say that this is definitely from the rooster and not from Safna Me'ara? Yad kama. How far away can it be? So I'm Rav Gamda Mishmei the Rav, that's the Girsa that we have, but both the Gilyan Ashas and the Masaris Ashas, they say it should be Rava. Rav Gamda said it Mishmei the Rava. Kol Hecha, and we turn to Zayin Amibes, wherever you have Kol Hecha, the Shoma Kole B'Yamama, where the chicken, the female chicken, this hen, can hear the voice of the rooster cockadoodle doing during the daytime, B'Yamama, Rashi points out, in the daytime, sound doesn't go as far as at nighttime. At night, when it's very quiet, you can hear sounds from farther away. But if you can hear it during the daytime, Shakol Eno Nishma B'Yom Kivalayla, but if you could hear this rooster crowing during the daytime, so then, in that situation, you can assume it was Mizachar, the egg came because of the rooster, and not Misafna Me'ara. And Lamaisa, Avad Rav Mari Uvda, this exact shaila came through Rav Mari, that somebody came to with an egg, they weren't sure whether it was laid on Erev Yontif or on Yontif, and he paskined Achisin Bate. As long as it was a rooster within 60 houses, we can assume that it was laid during the daytime only, and therefore, if you found it before dawn on the morning of Yontif, so then it's not a Beit Shnol B'Yontif, it's a Beit Shnol B'Erev Yontif. The Gemara says, this is true, that if there's a rooster within 60 houses, that you can assume it's from the rooster, but that's only V'i'ika Nara Lo'avra. But even the rooster is nearby, but there's a river preventing the rooster from getting to the chicken coop, so then, in that situation, we can no longer assume that the hen was fertilized from the Zohar, because the Zohar couldn't get there because of the river. However, there's a bridge, V'i'ika Mavra, then Avra. If there was a bridge, then we can assume that the rooster came across it, but it has to be a sturdy bridge. V'i'ika Mitzra, a Mitzra, Rashi tells us, is a certain type of a bridge that is basically just a tree across a river, and you have two poles, one on each side, that are in the ground, and you basically have a rope going between them, and a person could very precariously cross this type of a footbridge in a way that a chicken or a rooster wouldn't go across such a bridge. So if it's a real bridge, if it's a mavra, so that's a real bridge, so then the rooster would get to the chicken, and you can assume this din that it's definitely laid during the daytime. However, if there's only this very flimsy type of a bridge, the rooster's not going to go across it. V'yika mitzra lo avra. And therefore, you can't assume that it's midichra, that the egg was fertilized, but maybe it's safna miyara. However, the Gemara says, havu uvda, one time, ma'isa shaya, there was this flimsy type of a bridge, mitzra, the avra, and the rooster crossed it, ametzra. It went across this type of a rope bridge, and therefore, one lamaisa can rely upon any bridge to say that the rooster was able to fertilize the egg of the hen, and therefore, you can take it to the bank that it definitely was laid during the daytime and not during the nighttime. Now, we just brought down the statement, Yosef ben Shaul, in the name of Rav, that if you found it during the before the dawn, before Olos HaShachar, that the egg is no good. And we had explained that because it was Safna Mi'ara. So, how do we explain Yosef ben Shaul's statement in the name of Rav, that it was talking about B'Safna Mi'ara? So Gemara says, my ear, your bodak. So then why did you have to tell me that they checked? We just said that you checked Erev Yontif, and there was nothing there. even if you didn't check, kilo bodak nami, we'd have to assume that it could have been safnu meyara, and it's a safek whether the egg was laid on Erev Yontif or that it was laid the night of Yontif, and therefore it should be osir anyway. So why do they have to add bodak? So where it says, no, kilo bodak ema meesel havoy, because if you didn't check, then we'd be allowed to say that it's much more likely that it was yesterday, rather than saying the unlikely situation that even safnu meyara, most of the time it lays it during the day, and here to say that it laid it during the nighttime. So where it says, then ihachi ki bodak nami, even if it was checked, then we should be concerned that it was ema yotzes aruba v'chazrahi. So then, even if he did check, so then it should be good. Why are you telling us over here that it's concern of safna miara? So the Mora says, no. The Rav Yochanan lo shliach. This idea that Rav Yochanan said, yotza ruba v'chazra, while it can occur, and if you have no other reason to think that it came out at night, so then you can rely upon this. So if there's a rooster around, then that's what you can assume. But if it's a possibility of Saf and Miara, the Rabbi Yochanan lo shliach, since this is such an unusual thing, then you do have to say that he checked and it wasn't there. It's more likely that it came out at night rather than saying Yotza Ruba V'chazra. Now, since we mentioned one statement, Rabbi Yossi ben Shol, the name of Rav, Rabbi Yossi ben Shol is not a frequent Amora that's mentioned in the Shas, so we often lump together their statements, and therefore we say another statement from Yosef ben Shol. Rabbi Yossi ben Shol, Amar Rav, if you have a ground up garlic, sakanto ligluya, there is a concern over here with gilu. Gilu is, we said, that you have, let's say, water or some other beverage that's left open, so you have to be concerned that if it's not watched, that a snake came and put its poison into this. So to over here, he says, with this ground up garlic, tuma is garlic, shum, the tuf and the shin are interchangeable, so shrika means ground up. So if you have ground up garlic, you have to be concerned if it's galui, if it's left open, that maybe a snake came and put its poison inside of it, and therefore it's also to take it because of sakanta. Now quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Beishami Yomrim, in the second case that we had in the Mishnah, we had Beishami saying that there was a difference between sa'or, which is like the super type of chametz, and regular chametz in terms of the prohibition of bayiro, bayimotze, were the shirim the same. So Beishamay said, no, the shirim are not the same. The shir for Bayra Bayamotze for Sa'or is a kezayis, and the shir for regular chametz is a kosebes. And Beisilo said, no, both of them have the same shir of a kezayis. So Mori asks, why did Beishamay say they're two different shirim? My time, Beishamay. Why does Beishamay say that Sa'or has the shir of kezayis, and the chametz has a shir of a kosebes? Shmuel says, because if they had the same shear, Im Kain, if you want to tell me that both of them are shear of a kezayis, so then, lichto rachmona chametz, then the Torah would just have to tell me that you're not allowed to have chametz in your possession, v'lo boysar, and you wouldn't have to tell me sar, and I would know on my own. I would say, if you're not allowed to have chametz, which isn't as strong as sar, even a kezayis of chametz is aser, so certainly a kezayis of sar would be aser. Uma chametz she'ein chimutzo kosher, it's not so strong. Nevertheless, the shear is a kezayis, so certainly sar, which is much stronger, shechimutzu kosher, lo kosher kein. So I wouldn't need you to tell me it. From the fact that the Torah does tell me you're not allowed to have sar and you're not allowed to have chametz, so sar the kasher rachmona lomli. So why did the Torah write it? Lo malach, it must be to teach us shiur shozeh, lo kishiur shozeh. When the Torah tells us that there are two prohibitions over here, lo yirocho chametz, v'lo yirocho lecho sar, so therefore it must be that it's talking about two different shiurim, and that's where Beishamah gets the idea that sar is a kezayis and chametz is a kosebes. Beisilo doesn't agree with that. Ubeisilo, what do they say? Tzrichai. They say, no, you need to tell me both sa'or in the pasuk and chametz in the pasuk, and nevertheless it's the same shear. Why? Because the kasev arachman is sa'or. If the Torah had only written sa'or, so I would have said, you know what, sa'or, because it's so strong. Havamina mishum dechimutz kasha, so therefore the shear is a kezayis. Aval chametz ein chimutz kasha emelo. I would have said, you know what, taka, it has a less of a shear. Like Beishamah says, a kesevis. So therefore, tzrichai, therefore the Torah tells me both of them to tell me that they have the same shear. I didn't just write chametz because of rechmona chametz. So then I would say mishum deroy lechila. Chametz is edible. Right? It's a piece of bread. That's chametz. As opposed to sa'or, which is like the souring agent itself. But sa'or she'en deroy lechila. People don't eat the souring agent itself. Same hello. Maybe taka, there actually is no iser of having it in your possession. Tzricha. Therefore, according to Beis Hillel, you have to tell me both sa'or and chametz, but it's the same shear. The shear is a kezayis. That a Gemara question, according to Beishamai, it's two separate shiurim. Don't they hold like Rabbi Zeira? Beishamai, last luda Rabbi Zeira. Don't they hold like the Shita of Rabbi Zeira? What did Rabbi Zeira say? Don't Rabbi Zeira, Pasach HaKosav B'Sor, the Pasuk starts off telling us the din of Sa'or. It tells us, Shivas Yomim Sa'or, Lo Yimotze B'Botechem, and then it switches, V'Siyim B'Chametz. It says, Ki Kol Ochel Machmetzes, V'Nichuzo HaNevesh, Ahi Me'adas Yisrael. So it starts off with the word Sa'or, and it ends with the word chametz. And it seems to be zehu sar, zehu chametz, that they're identical. And therefore they have the same share. So how can Beis Shammai disagree with this idea of Reb Zeira? Or does Beis Shammai disagree with this concept of Reb Zeira? It's a very good understanding of the pasuk. So what would Beis Shammai say about this? So the Gemara says, no, Beis Shammai agrees with Reb Zeira's din in regards to eating, linyan achila, in regards to the isra of achila of any form of chametz on Pesach. So the kuli amalo plige, the sa'or and chametz are both aser. A kizayis is aser. Ki plige, but where does Beis Shammai disagree and say that sa'or and chametz don't have the same share? That's linyan bia, that's the isra of bayiro bayimotze, and you have to get rid of it. You're not allowed to have it in your possession. Here, Beis Shammai sabre lo yofinim bir miachila. We don't learn out the dinim of this beer, lo yiroa bayiroa bayimotze, from achila. By achila, it's the same share, a kizayis. But by bayiroa bayimotze, there is different share. Sa'or is a kizayis, and chametz is a kosevis. And Beis Hillel disagrees. Beis Hillel sabre, no, yafinim bir miachila. Just like achila, it's the same share. So too, bayiroa bayimotze, the beer, you're not allowed to have it in your possession, also is the same share of a kizayis. Likewise, in Manam, we say the base medrash, Amar Rav Yossi bar Chanina, Rav Yossi bar Chanina said, the machlokas is in your beer. The machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is only in regards to bayiro bayimotze, you have to get rid of it, you're not allowed to have it in your possession. Avolini nachila, in regards to the prohibition against eating chametz, devri akol, zeh vizeh the chazayis. That even Beis Shammai is moda, that the shir is always a chazayis. And Tani Nami Yochi, a brisa says the same thing. The brisa tells us, now we already quoted this pasuk before, and we have it incorrectly in our Gemara, and on the side, the Masoros HaShas tells us the changes. So I'll read it the right way. V'lo yiro l'cho chometz, not sa'ar. V'lo yiro l'cho, and not chometz, sa'ar. So this is the pasuk. It tells us both of them. And zeo machlokish be mishayim v'mishel. Again, the Brisa says exactly what we just said now. In regards to bayiro bayimotze, lo yiro l'cho the chometz, lo yiro l'cho sa'ar. So there's a machlokish be mishayim v'mishel. Beis Hillel says both of them have the same shear, and Beis Shammai says they don't. That there's a difference between the two. The sor, which is a stronger chimutz or kasha, so that's the shear of a kazayas. But the chametz, which is not so kasha, there's a shear, according to Beis Shammai, is a koseves. And Beis Hillel disagrees. Beis Hillel omrim zeh v'zeh b'chazayas. Both of them have the same shear of a kazayas. Then we go to the third machlokas that we had in the Mishnah, where we said, in regards to kisui hadam, Beis Shammai says, you're allowed to do the kisui hadam, and Beis Hillel said, you're not allowed to do the kisui hadam l'chatchila. So hashochet chayev of biyom tov v'chule, we quote the Mishnah. Now, the word hashochet implies after the fact, it implies a loshon of b'di'evit. If you went and shechted, so then Beis Shammai says that you're allowed to go and do the kisui hadam. Beis Hillel says no, even though you can't. So hashochet implies the evit in l'chachila lo. So therefore, we want to suggest here that Beis Shammai doesn't allow you to do this l'chachila. But then keep on reading, Emma Sefer, scroll down to the Sefer of the Mishnah. Or Beis Hillel mim lo yishchol. That implies the chachila, that you're not allowed to shecht. Mikal, the Tanakhama, sorry, Yishcho, the Beis Shammai, the Tanakhama says you are allowed to shecht. So which one is it? He seems to say it's the Evet, but then he seems to say it's the chachila. Shmuel says, no, that's not a problem. Holo, kasha. When we said over here, Ubeisilomim, lo Yishcho, it didn't mean lo Yishcho, the chachila. It meant lo Yishcho, the Yechaser, Kamar. It meant even Bidi Evet, after you shechted it, you're not allowed to go and do Kisu Yadam. He says, but that doesn't make sense. Ve'im ha'sefer, keep on reading. It says, umodim, it says, even Beis Hillel's moda, that once you already shechted, bid'yeh v'shim shochad, shi'achbar b'deker v'yichased, that you should take the dirt from the shovel that you have in the ground, the spade or hoe that you have in the ground, v'yichased. That implies, m'chal d'reisha, la b'di'evidu, that implies that the reisha was not b'di'ev, because the sefer is b'di'ev, so the reisha is l'chachila. So again, what's going on over here? We can't seem to be understanding the Mishnah properly. Is it b'di'evet or is it l'chachila? So Rabba tells us, this is what the Mishnah is telling us. Hashochet sheba limolech. If you have a shochet and he's coming to ask us a question, what should I do? Should I shecht this animal or not? I don't have dirt prepared. Am I allowed to go shecht this bird or this chaya on yontif? So what should we tell him? Ketzet omelo. So how does the Rav paskin? So it's machlokas, Beis Shammai v'Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai yomri and Beis Shammai says we can tell this person, this shochet, Omelo shechot chafor v'chasei. Beis Shammai says l'chatchila. You can tell him shecht the animal, and then after you shecht the animal, dig in the dirt, and then v'chasei and do kisui adam. Whereas Beis Hillel disagrees. Beis Hillel omrim lo yishcho. You're not allowed to shecht unless elim kein hayelo ofen uchon mibo jom. So this is the way you understand the Mishnah. Beis Shammai says you can shecht l'chatchila, and Beis Hillel says no, unless only if you have dirt are you allowed to go shecht l'chatchila. And Beis Shammai says no, you can even shecht l'chatchila, shecht, and then go get the dirt afterwards. That's Rabba's understanding of the Mishnah. Rav Yosef is a little bit different. Rav Yosef Amar Hachi Kamar. This is the way you understand the Mishnah. Hashochet, if the shochet comes, Shabbat Limolach, he's coming to ask you, Shalosh, should I shecht this bird or this chaya on Yontif? I don't have dirt prepared to do kisi adam. Ketzer Omer Lo, what should you tell him? What should the Rav Paskin? So Beishamai says, Beishamai Yomrim, Omer Lo, you tell him, Lech Chafar, first dig the dirt, and then Shchot V'chaseh, and only afterwards do the shchita, and then do the kisi adam. So the difference between Rav Yosef, he's telling us first you dig chafar and then shchot, whereas Rabbah said shchot for a shecht and then dig. And Beisel says in both cases the same. Lo yishchot elim kemo yelo ofar muchan mibojom. You're not allowed to do the shchita unless you have the dirt prepared from the day before, unless you already had dirt prepared. Now, Omle Abayla Rav Yosef, Abayi asked Rav Yosef, Lema marv Rabbah, it seems that you're a slightly different interpretation. Rabbah had said shchot chafar and then kaseh, and you had said chafar Shchot, and then Kaseh, maybe you're arguing about this din of Rav Zeira. Lema Ma'ar V'Rabba, that you, Rav Yosef, and Rabba are arguing on what Rav Zeira said. But the Rav Zeira, Amar Rav, Kol Miflagisu, that's what you're arguing about. What did they say? The Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav, Rav Zeira is the name of Rav, HaShochet Tzor Shiyitin Ofer Lemata V'Ofer Lemala. They had said, Rav Zeira, Amar Rav, that when the person does Kisu Yadam, there has to be dirt on the bottom, then you shecht, and then you cover up that blood that came out. So you need a sandwich, so to say, of dirt. Shenemar, this is based upon v'shovach hazdomo v'chiso be'ofor. And when you go and shecht and the blood goes on the ground, you have to cover it up be'ofor. Now, it said the word be'ofor. Ofer lo nemar, it didn't say the word covered up with dirt, but it said ela be'ofor, which implies melamed shashochet tzorech sheyitein ofor lemato v'ofor lemala, that you need to have dirt already there. You have to chiso in the dirt, be'ofor, that was already there. So Rav Zeira Amar Rav says that you need to have dirt at the bottom as well as dirt on the top. So therefore, let us say, demar, that Rav Yosef, who said that the proper order is chafor, first dig, because you need to have dirt at the bottom, then shecht, and then lechaseh, because you need to have dirt at the bottom and the top. So demar is the Rav Zeira, Rav Yosef holds like Rav Zeira's Amar Rav. The Rabbah, who said shechot, first do the shechita, and then chafor v'chaseh, he doesn't seem to need dirt at the bottom. The Rabbah less like the Rav Zeira. So that's what Abaye said to Rav Yosef. Maybe that's your machlokes between you and Rabbah. But Rav Yosef said back to Abaye, that's incorrect. Omale, bein ledidi, bein l'Rabbah. Whether you hold the order that I said, Rav Yosef, that it's chafor, shechot, chaseh, or whether it's like Rabbah, shechot, chafor, v'chaseh, either way, bein ledidi, bein l'Rabbah, we both hold, islan, the Rav Zeira, Omer Rav. We both hold that you have to have the dirt at the bottom. So what are we arguing about? What Rabbah and I, Rav Yosef, are arguing about is the following. Rabbah holds, Rabbah Savar, Iika Ofer Lemata, in. If you already have dirt at the bottom, so then you can go and shecht. Rabbah says, first go and make sure that there's dirt there, and only afterwards, shechot, and then chafor v'chaseh. So therefore, Iik Ofer Lemata, in, Ilo lo. But you can't go and shecht, even according to Beis Shammai, if there's no dirt there already. Because Chayshinan, they are concerned, Doma Mimloch, you're going to change your mind. And you're going to go and Chafar, and you say, yeah, I'm not hungry for meat, I'm going to have cheese. So therefore, you're going to change your mind, Doma Mimloch, Vlo Shochet, and then you'll have done the digging for no purpose. However, Rav Yosef, I say L'didi, now we have the Girsa Adrabah, someone not Goris, the word Adrabah, the Marshal deletes this. In any event, he says, Ho'adifa, it's much more preferable to first do the digging. Because Dilo Sharisle, if you don't let the person dig, you know what? He's going to say, well, I'm really not allowed to dig, so you know what? I won't shecht. And also, Nuye Misimchas Yantiv. And then he's not going to go and have meat. He'll say, okay, well, we'll have Cheerios. We're not going to have meat. And therefore, it'll prevent him from having the full Simchas Yantiv. That's the machlokas between Rabbah and Rav Yosef, but it has nothing to do with the statement that everybody agrees that Rav Zeira said in the name of Rav, that you have to have the sandwich, you have to have the dirt on the bottom, and then followed with the blood and the dirt on the top. Then we said in the Mishnah, Umodim, everybody agreed, Beisel agreed to Beis Shammai, Shemeshach HaBidi Evet, once it was already shechted, Sheyachbar B'deka V'Yachase. After the fact, you can go and dig with this hoe, with this spade, and do the Kisui Adam. Now, this involves various prohibitions to go and dig in the ground. So how do you get around that? Why would even Beis Hillel be Moda, and certainly Beis Shammai, why would they say that you're allowed to do this? So I'm Rav Zrika, I'm Rav Yehuda. Rav Zrika said the name of Yehuda because you're not dealing over here with Chafira. There is no concern that you're digging into the ground, that you're plowing, you're not doing Harisha. Fushieshlo Deker, no, it's Mibojom. The Deker, this spade, this hoe, this shovel, was already in the ground before Yontif started. So therefore, you're not digging anything with it. So that gets rid of that potential Isser. I v'ho ka'ovid ketisha. But you're going to have to go and chop up that dirt, and that's grinding, that's ketisha, and that's also an isser. Shmuel says, Amar Ruchi Barashi, Amar Rab. Ruchi Barashi says the name of Rab. That's also not a problem. Why not? We turn to Chesamot Aleph. Because we're dealing with the offer tichowach, we're dealing with loose dirt, and therefore there is no problem of ketisha, of chopping up this loose dirt. I v'ha ka'ovid guma, but you're making a hole. Why isn't that a problem? Rashi says v'chayi bishum binyan. This would be a problem of you making a hole. That's a binyan, so that's a melacha. So Gemara says no, because we hold like the Rabbi Abba. What did Rabbi Abba say? The Amar Rabbi Abba hachofer guma b'Shabbos. If you go and dig a hole on Shabbos, the ain't no tzarech el yafar. You have no need for this hole. You just need the dirt. And the fact that there'll be a hole afterwards, that's irrelevant to you. Potter ola, then it's not a iser that you have done. You're potter for doing this. As Rashi points out, the Gemara in Chagiga says, the kivan, the ain't no tsarich el yafar, since you only need the dirt and not the hole, velo leguma, it's not a binyan problem, ain't no bona, and velo chorish, and it's not a plowing problem. El it's makalkal, all you're doing is destroying the ground. They'll call them a makalkal in Peturim, and if, when you do something destructive, that is actually potter. So therefore, that is why it's not a problem with any of these things. Now, the rest of this omer is a little bit short, and again, we need to make up some days with all of the Yom Tovim coming up, so maybe we'll go ahead and do Chesamot Aleph as well, because it's only 45 minutes into the shiur. So, we now quote the Mishnah, and we said, She'efer kira muchanu. We said that the ashes from your oven are also considered muchan. So this was a non-sequitur. So Gemara says, Efer kira mandekar shmei. Who was talking about Efer kira that you should say that the ashes from the oven are also considered muchan? We were talking about dirt for kisui adam. What does that have to do with ashes from the oven? So we have two terusim over here. The first one is Rabba. Omer Rabba, hachi komer. This is what the Mishnah was teaching us. The Efer Kira. By the way, the ashes in an oven are also considered muchanhu, and that you would be allowed to go and use these ashes. They're not considered muktzah. And you can use them on yantif for whatever needs you may have, such as kisui adam. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Marav. Rabbi Yehuda Marav said, Lo shanu. We only said this, however, elish shehusak me'erev yontif, if the ashes had already been made from erev yontif. So therefore, they're not nolad on yontif. However, avul husak b'yontif, if these ashes were created on yontif, then it's a problem of nolad, and it would be osir. With one exception, even there, v'imroi litzlos bo beitza, if it's still the ashes are hot enough that you could go roast an egg in them, so then it is good, mutter, because you haven't changed it from the original firewood to now these ashes that are functioning as firewood. And therefore, just like it was muchan for firewood, so it's muchan over here for the heat, for the roasting of the egg. And we have a brisa that says the same thing. Tanya nami hochi. Kishamu efer kira muchanu, that which we said that the ashes of an oven are considered muchan, we only said that lo amaru ela shehusak me'erev yontif. It was ashes that were made on Erev Yontif, not that you made them on Yontif. Because if you made them on Yontif, then it's a nolad problem, aval husak b'yontif osur. But again, the caveat, v'imroi litzos will bein some mutter, but if it's still hot enough that you actually could use it for its original purpose, which was firewood for roasting, so then it would be mutter here as well. Then we quote a braisa, hichnis ofer legin osur l'churba. If a person brings dirt into his garden or into his ruins, so then this dirt is muchan and he's allowed to use it, mutal lechas as well. You can use it for whatever you need it for. They used to cover up dirty diapers, excrement and things like that, because they had dirt floors, so they had dirt there that they could use to cover up. So too, you could use this muchan offer for the mitzvah of kisui adam. Furthermore, the Yom Rav Yehuda, the man made another statement. He said, Machnes odem lo kupaso offer. You could bring in a small basket. Lo kupaso is a small basket. And v'osa bo kol tzarko, and use this dirt, it's muchan, for any purpose that you may have, such as kisui adam, or for, as I said, covering up tzor, things like that. And Dorish Marzutra, Mishmeid Marzutra Rabba, Marzutra, he said this over the name of the great Marzutra, the earlier Marzutra. This is only true that Machnes odem lo kupaso v'osa Ba called Sarko, only Vahushi Yichid lo Karen Zavis. If you put it in a specific corner, and if in this way you're designating it to be used as Muchan dirt. That way you're showing and demonstrating that it's Muchan. So this qualification by Marzutra of Rav Yehuda's din is now going to be challenged. Mor says, Meisve, wait a second. We learned in this Mishnah and Chulin the following. It says, Meisve, Koi. A koi is an animal that we're not sure whether it's a chaya or whether it's a behema. A lot of different suggestions as to what the koi is. Some suggest the buffalo, others suggest it's a different animal. In any event, this is not one of the three vade behemas or one of the seven vade chayas. And the Mishnayos tell us that in some ways it's like a behema, in some ways it's like a chaya, in some ways it's like both, in some ways it's like neither. So for our purposes, this koi, some pronounce it kvi, but the more common pronunciation is koi. ain't shochtin also b'yantiv. You're not letting go in shechtin on yantiv because it's a machlokes. Does it or does it not kisui adam? Because if it's a chaya, so then it would require kisui adam. However, if it's a vehema, it wouldn't require kisui adam. So therefore, don't shecht the koi on yantiv. But if you did, v'im shachato, eim chasin is domo. Don't cover up the blood because, again, you're using the dirt over here for something that may not be necessary. But wait a second. Esau, if in fact Rabbi Yehuda is right, that you can bring in a small container of dirt into your house and use it for whatever your needs are, so lechasye kid Rabbi Yehuda. So then this is muchan, and what would be the problem of doing this? Someone says, really? Ultaimech, and according to what you're suggesting, then lechasye be'efer kira, or be'deker notes. Then why do you bedafka need to have this little container of dirt that was brought in? You could use the ashes from the fire, or you could use the deker notes, the hoe or the spade that you already had in the ground. Now obviously, since it tells us that you are not allowed to go and do this, it must be talking about that you don't have this. El delesle, you don't have aper kira or dekranos. So too, hochanami delesle, you don't have this kupa that review that said you could bring into your house and use it for all your dirt needs. Shemur says, then if that's true, e hachi, if the way you're understanding this is true, then why did you have to give me the case of a koi? My ear is suffic. Then the same thing would apply with the vadai. If you don't have dirt, so then you obviously can't do kisui adam. So why did you give me the case in this Mishnah in Chulin with a koi? You could have the same thing with a vadai. If you don't have dirt, so you're not allowed to do kisui adam. If you have a chaya, vadai, it requires kisui adam. But if you don't have the dirt, so then you shouldn't be shechting it. Someone says, no, lo meboy kamar. This follows the type of format of, you didn't even have to tell me that, and certainly this, lo meboy kamar. Lo meboy, you didn't have to tell me that a vadai de lo lishchot, that if you have a chaya or a bird that requires definitely kisui adam, you didn't have to tell me that, because it certainly requires kisui adam, and you can't do it. So therefore, don't shecht it, because you don't have any dirt. But even avol safek, I might have said that a safek, ema, Mishum Simchas Yontif Lishchot. We should allow you to go and shecht this koi because, after all, if you don't have meat, it's not going to be Simchas Yontif. Okay, since it's a Sothik, v'lo yichasye. And therefore, since you don't have dirt, don't do the covering up, but at least do the Shechita. So therefore, the Chiddush is in this Mishnah, Kamash V'lon, that even though you don't have any dirt, you still shouldn't even do it for a Sothik like a koi. Kamash V'lon, that's the Chiddush. Don't do it. Now we turn to Chesam with Beis. Mar says, no, but that's ridiculous to say that we're talking here about a case where he doesn't have any dirt. It says over there, keep on reading the Mishnah, it says, if you did the Shechita, then don't do Kisi Adam. So then, wait a second, that implies, the Reisha, that we're obviously talking about, that you have dirt to do Kisi Adam. So this understanding is totally wrong, and B'ezus Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up how is the proper way to understand that Mishnah.